What is good, guys and gals, and welcome to the Films and Pixels Podcast, episode 42. I am your host, Afif. Thanks for being patient and waiting for me. I'm sorry if it's really taken a lot longer than it should for another episode. It's just sometimes slow connections for uploading or power cuts, or sometimes depending on work schedule, even though it's really not a big issue for me personally. I just try to balance all these things out and I do the best I could. So it's always good to get another episode, record another one. And also another reason, like finding topics that I like to talk about and can be appealing and so forth. So it's a good thing I was able to find some interesting topics for episode 42 that I'm recording right now, such as recent news. In fact, some things that happened over the last like 2 weeks or so, like Volition Studio facing enclosure, so they have to close down. A couple of shows that you're probably aware of on Hulu that got canceled. So I'm going to explain how and why, and that's kind of shocking that it happened. Some movies that also got delayed because of the strikes, the writers and actors strike into next year. Some revelations from Suicide Squad director David Ayer, the Suicide Squad movie from 2016, not the recent one, from James Gunn in 2021. Plus a movie I saw recently on OS X Plus that I decided to just react and review, and that is Tar, starring Cate Blanchett. And a strange situation between the highly anticipated Baldur's Gate 3 that was released recently, and why is it not on Xbox Series X right now? It will be eventually, but why not on launch day, early September, like it was on PS5 and Windows? So I'll get into that in just a moment. But before I continue, please kindly do so. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you're not watching on YouTube, you're listening to whatever you get, your podcast, like Google Podcasts, Spotify, Andrami. So much appreciated. So thank you. If you listen from those audio streaming platforms, that means a lot to me. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. And you know what? I'm ready to go from here on out. Let's get going for episode 42 of the Films and Pixels. Most people already know by now that both Suicide Squad movies, one was critically panned, one was critically acclaimed, and the one that did not do so well critically and commercially was the one I remember in August 2016, directed by David Ayer, and the one that in 2021... from James Gunn, just simply titled The Suicide Squad. That was actually an excellent movie. So between the two, if you haven't seen either one, choose the latter one because that was much better. And, you know, more and more details, it seems like, coming behind the scenes. And, you know, I just thought interesting details even now. So David Ayer, the director of that movie, speaking to John Bernthal. Of course, a lot of people know John Bernthal from many movies like Fury is another one that he actually collaborated with Ayer on. And of course, everyone knows Bernthal by now as the Punisher and those Marvel Netflix shows. In fact, I think they're on Disney Plus now. And a whole bunch of great films, like even Driver. Yeah, I remember Driver is another one. But it turns out Bernthal has a podcast of his own, and he invited David Ayer as a guest and just asked him details about that movie. He did say that the final cut was one that he didn't really approve, and it was like for him like biggest Hollywood heartbreak. And like I'll just read a little bit of a quote, but basically he said that movie, like that shit broke me, it handed me my ass and ripped to pieces. But I mean, even though I have the quotes, I have the video itself, so I'm just gonna hold on, I want to play it in just a moment.
What's your biggest heartbreak in the film industry? What's the thing that's hurt the most?
All right, so Hollywood, I tell people, is like watching someone you love get fucked by someone you hate. So, you know, the big one is like Suicide Squad. That shit broke me. That handed me my ass.
How so?
Come right off Fury, right? Had the town in my hand. Could have done anything, and I did do anything, and you know, go on this journey with it, and the same thing, like authentic, truthful, let's do all the rehearsal, let's really get in each other's souls, let's create this amazing collaborative thing, yeah. Right, and then Deadpool opened, right, and then they never tested Batman versus Superman. So they were expecting a different result, and then they got hammered by all the critics, and then it's like, okay, we're going to turn David Ayer's dark, soulful movie into a fucking comedy now.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure what he's simply referring to is the World War II movie, Fury. He directed, also starring Bernthal. Another young actor, I keep forgetting his face, but he is known for the Percy Jackson and Maze Runner films. Shia LaBeouf, Brad Pitt also included. That was a good film. That was a pretty good solid war film, I guess, so to speak. But I just love what he said about the Suicide Squad movie. And look, I don't blame him, especially like, you know, this year there's a legitimate discussion about superhero movie fatigue, you know, at least from the DC side. More DC-esque films this year, more so than Marvel films, and also concentrate on TV. But without getting too off topic on that part, like, I really don't blame him that he really wanted to create something serious and, like I said, dark, soulful. And said, like, something that turned into, like, an action comedy. Because I know there are wacky, goofy characters. And even the other night, it was, like, on NBC2, and I'm just like, oh, my God, this shit show movie again. Like, nothing wrong with the cast, but, like, sometimes when you see the cast members, like, that also included Will Smith as well, Margot Robbie, fantastic as always, acting as Harley Quinn. Another one. Even the Enchantress character played by Cara Delevingne, like, really awkward. And, you know, Viola Davis, awesome as Amanda Waller, but the whole film in general, like, it just did not put the DCU in such a great spot. And just the movie itself, even financially, even if there was, like, an extended 11-minute cut, was not really good at all. Yeah, I remember there was some sort of extended cut for like an extra 11 minutes of footage. It just didn't really make too much of a difference for me. And even the whole Jared Leto Joker thing just got overhyped with stories of him sending castmates dead rats and poisonous snakes and how he was decepted in the trailer. It just was like really weird. I agree like how unsatisfied and unhappy he was, but that's why at least... Well, as long as there aren't any more strikes, at least like around 2025, we are getting Gunn's Superman Legacy movie. So hopefully from now on, the upcoming slate of DC films are much better than what we've seen. Yeah, I'm assuming most of you are likely aware by now, but two TV shows from Hulu got canceled very recently, like probably a couple of weeks ago or even earlier this month, which was quite a surprise for many. The first one I will mention is The Great, sort of like a period comedy drama, kind of exaggerated story. I never heard of it until recently, but I might have some details. Anyway, The Great is one of them, starring Elle Fanning. And the second one, which caught me by surprise, is How I Met Your Father, was canceled. Excuse me. That's a spinoff to How I Met Your Mother. That story with Ted Mosby and the gang, and like even How I Met Your Father had the captain. There was Robin Scherbatsky and Barney Stinson. It was good to see them. But this one, the main lead was the character of Sophie, played by Hilary Duff. So it was actually kind of disappointing that it got canceled after just two seasons. And now storylines that we saw at the end, like now they're completely unresolved. So I don't know, like, it would have been nice to see a journey with, like, both of these shows. And look, we all know that it's been kind of, they can, like, at least try to compete with, like, the Netflix and the, you know, the streaming entertainment field now. So, you know, it's just, you know, hopefully, like, a different network can pick them up. But, I mean, so, yeah, The Grey is, like, a period drama that did dare to be different. You know, Tony McNamara, even known for like The Favorite as well, but like 18th century Russian court film with like some modern sensibility. Like, looks like it's an old style comedy drama and with like modern take on the reality. I don't know. I admit I didn't really watch it, but seemed to do well enough that it got like Emmy nomination. So that's kind of really weird. But I mean, like, the rising cost of producing quality content was one of the reasons it got canceled. And also, like, facing fierce competition. So they had to just allocate their budget strategically, and that's just not fair. But I mean, like, shows that are just underperforming, you know, it's a way to just save some money and just, you know, put the budget on more promising projects that can be streamed on Hulu. It's just business. Like, if it's not working well, then anyway, whether it's commercially, if ratings are not good, critically, not getting any sort of social media buzz probably as well, maybe that might have been a factor. You know, it makes sense, you know, if it's not trending online or anything like that. So, you know, it's just a constant battle of just trying to, you know, attract and retain viewers, you know, so. Yeah, and of course, like, creative differences one way or another get in the way of, like, how successful, you know, a TV show can be, you know? And even, like, maybe some sort of behind-the-scenes conflicts may have been a disrupting factor of How I Met Your Father, so that might have been one. And we all know that The Great is known for, like, it's just lavish settings, extravagant costumes, and with elaborate sets and so forth. So that all came at very high costs, even though it did get critically acclaimed. You know, its expenses did outweigh its viewership and profitability. So that's just something to just really take into consideration, you know what I mean? And also, like, How I Met Your Father, I love how similar to How I Met Your Mother, with Kim Cattrall being the future version of Sophie, whereas, like, past Sophie, but also, like, you know, 2021, 22, 23 Sophie, played by Hilary Duff. And it's kind of sad that I got canceled, because, like, I've always found Hilary Duff to be, like, fun and bubbly, you know what I mean? Like, I just like the characters that she portrays and the personalities and the humor she tries to show. So it was just nice to see cameos from past characters, you know what I mean? It's already hard enough for Hulu to do the best it can to compete against Netflix, Amazon Prime, HBO Max, Disney Plus, Shahid, Star Plays, and so forth, you know what I mean? So another cast member part of The Great is also Nicholas Holt as well. And yeah, so that took place in Russia between 1762 and 1796. So I thought that was an interesting way, you know what I mean? It did win an Emmy for Outstanding Period Costumes in 2022. Also the same year when Fanning and Holt did earn nominations for headlining the series. She got numerous accolades for her performance, including the SAG Critics' Choice, an Independent Spirit Award, and also two Golden Globe nominations. So, look, it's really common, like, a bunch of shows that don't even last for, like, five seasons, like, just get canceled, even though, like, you know, it gets a cult following. Some people initially don't like it, but when it improves, people start to love it more, just because of loyalty or just because they want to see improvement in the writing, in the dialogue, the storytelling, you know, character arcs, grow the characters, you know, make, you know, believable performances from actors as well. But I mean, look, some things are just not meant to last for a long time, and unfortunately, this was one of them. Remember when I mentioned earlier about, like, a bunch of movies that are going to be facing delays and supposed to come out, like, later this year? Even some movies that were supposed to come next month, maybe early next year, but because of the strikes from the writers and actors, and now, like, it's prolonging a lot longer than we all expected it to be, you know what I mean? And for that to go on, you know, now it's like, okay, now what do we, like, what are we supposed to do next, you know what I mean? So I don't know, like, I have a list of, like, movies that are going to be facing some delays, but it's a long list, but some a bit in the near future by now. But, like, anyway, like, for example, like, Godzilla King Kong crossover, The New Empire, going to come out, like, April 12, or Dune Part 2 that was going to come out, like, March 15. It was supposed to come out like November. Now it's like March 15. And I think Poor Things might be here, but it is in like some festivals. But December 8th, which, okay, that's fine. We already know Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse has been out in the summer, but Beyond the Spider-Verse, the third film in the Spider-Man Miles Morales trilogy, sometime next year. It's fine that the second Aquaman film is coming in December. After all, the last film did come out in December, so it's fine. Or like, you know, Deadpool 3 and like May 3 of 2024 and Venom 3 in July 12, 2024. Even like, you know, Beetlejuice and Ends With Us, like some films that I don't think we all realize like were like got delays. Even like shows that might suffer delays, like The Last of Us Season 2, Euphoria Season 3, Emily in Paris Season 4, wow, Stranger Things Season 5, The White Lotus Season 3, Yellow Jacket Season 3, just to name a few. But I mean, like, if this is going to go on, like, already we had the whole COVID postponements, with the whole COVID-19 postponing a bunch of movies and shows, and then, like, coming out later and almost struggle to like make up for box office money, you know. But it's a good thing they did come out anyway. But you know, now there's going to be delays because of strikes, and no one seems to be agreeing on anything, and people are angry about statements from Bob Iger, you know, saying that, you know, not compensating, and just, you know, for example, just some ugly back and forth. But one way or another, there's going to be a resolution to the conflict. I don't think this is the first time the writers did have a strike, but I don't remember when the last time actors had a strike. But if the actors are striking, then, you know, when are we going to see movies that cost a lot of money and really like going to lose studios money, which it's already happening, and then so forth. So, and it's, we already know it's a costly problem, but the bigger issue is like, okay, what is it that can be made sense of the whole thing? So who knows, but I mean, this storyline is definitely worth keeping up if you care about your favorite actors, you love their performances, if some films that you, some shows that you really do want to watch in the near future. So this storyline, the little details, I do recommend keeping up, but that way we know like how this conflict can finally come to a peaceful end. Well, you're probably aware of the name Volition. They're the ones responsible for big IPs like Saints Row and Red Faction. Even though it's hard for Saints Row to compete against Grand Theft Auto, but it separates itself by being comedic. Anyway, part of the reason why I'm talking about Volition, even though they had their 30th anniversary, they are forced to effectively close down, or I should say close down, and yes, it has happened, effective immediately, as part of their parent company, Embracer Group's restructuring program of studios that may not be part of their portfolio going forward or whatnot. And that's just kind of sad, especially since staff members on social media announcing that they've been asked to leave, but they will find help for like transitioning to other jobs. So that just kind of suck. And you know, I remember, I think I got like a announcement here, but yeah, the Volition team has proudly created world-class entertainment for fans around the globe for 30 years. We've been driven by a passion for our community and always worked to deliver joy, surprise, and delight. This past June, Embracer Group has announced a restructuring program to strengthen Embracer and maintain its position as a leader in the video game industry. As part of that program, they evaluated strategic and operational goals and made the difficult decision to close Volition effective immediately. To help our team, we are working to provide job assistance and help smooth the transition for our Volition family members. We thank our customers and fans around the world for all the love and support over the years. You will always be in our hearts, Volition Games. So it just kind of sucks, you know? I know that you know, this does affect like around 340 now former employees, you know, and they've been a company like that opened around 1993. Like, you know, some games that I think are not really known, like Descent 2, but like everyone remembers, like, you know, the Saints Row, you know, the Saints Row 2 was good, but the third, The third was a hit, and then there was a fourth, which was pretty solid. And the expansion, Johnny Gets to Hell or something like that. And then when they did a spinoff of Agents of Mayhem and then the Saints Row reboot last year, which really didn't go well, even if though it was like cross-gen, that didn't really go well with anyone last year, especially when it comes to technical issues. And then the Red Faction, I think it was like first two games, like first-person shooter, like long time ago, like we're talking like early 2000s, PlayStation 2 era, you know, and then Guerrilla, you know, being third person open world, and then whatever they did with Armageddon, then like becoming totally linear, which really like set the whole franchise backward. And since then, there hasn't been anything new, but although Guerrilla did get like a remastering of sorts for modern systems, so that's really fine and all. But I mean, like, because of the commercial problems of the Saints Row reboot, then they moved it to like Gearbox Software team, the same Gearbox from Borderlands and so forth. But I mean, even some accomplishments, including like Saints Row the Third selling like 5 million copies worldwide, and even like got a remastering for more modern consoles as well. So, but for them to close, it's not rare that we've seen game studios shut down. Even the studio from Dead Space from EA, like even they got shut down, but it's just still really crappy. Although it's at least there's some relief knowing that there are people that can help them transition professionally into, you know, a different corporation or a similar job that they can do that might help them. So this is, at least there's that. Although, like, I agree, it's just really crappy just knowing the situation that has happened at hand. But, you know, what can we really do? I mean, you don't do well commercially. Your games don't really connect with people. No one really has fun with them. It's broken, glitchy, ugly. You know, doesn't surpass expectations. And, you know, results happen. You know, it's another results-based business, like film as well. Remember earlier when I mentioned Baldur's Gate 3? It did come out early September. It's like an RPG tactical game, kind of like, what was it, Divinity Origin Sin? That kind of game, really popular on Windows. I think previous games may have seen console release, so it's pretty cool that it's on PS5 and Windows. But why is it not on the Xbox Series? Well, it turns out there's like a bit of a parity issue. You see, of course, like you can use split screen on the modern systems, right? And definitely it can work on Series X. It's more than powerful to allow split screen. The issue is split screen is not working or is not really compatible at all on Series S. There has to be like a rule for like parity feature that has to be exactly the same for both Series X and Series S. And we all know that the Series S, as impressive as it is, but it is less powerful. Specs are lower. It's been a headache for developers. Consumers love it just because of how small and cheap it is. But I mean, like, performance issues, low resolution, if not 1440p, lower than that. And not always is there ray tracing. So there's been like somewhat of a delay. I think that there should be a rule change. I think it's going to happen eventually. And I was saying this before, like, you know, like, I mean, yeah, it's great, like, you know, for what it is, but memory problems has been an issue for a Series S, you know? So I kept thinking, like, okay, this is exactly why Sony didn't want to have something similar to the Series S, because they knew that it would, you know, there would be some complications with lower specs and how to make their games work and what features are there, what features have to be cut, or memory limitations and making the GPU and the CPU work together, you know? And then like conjunction with, you know, what sort of gameplay options and can they be released simultaneously? But then like you think of how it reached for casual audiences, and it is working for casual audiences that love how small and affordable it is. But long term, it's going to be a problem. It may not last the whole generation. I wish I'm wrong, but because of the sort of issues that keep coming up for developers, maybe it might not be long standing for the entire generation. But then again, that's why there might be a solution from Microsoft on this thing. And I will talk about it because there was a major leak. I don't want to say too much about it for this episode, but there was a major Xbox leak that happened just a few days ago. But yeah, like I do think like we're going to see something similar for... I think we're just going to see like an exception, like, okay, like split screen can't work on Series S for Baldur's Gate 3. Fine, just release it without Baldur's Gate 3 and just move forward, you know? So that's just how it is. So I think that's why there's like a PS5 digital edition, like the one with like no disc drive, just because like same specs, but no disc drive, no unnecessary complications for developers of like trying to compromise it. I think this is why. So it's a double-edged sword, you know? On one hand, perfect or great for consumers, but a bit of a headache for developers and programmers that have to figure out a way to make the most out of its limited memory storage, how to make the GPU work, how to get a stable performance if they can or can't implement ray tracing as well. So it is impressive how recently, like, yes, for Starfield, I think Starfield on Windows can go up to 60 FPS. But on Series X, it's at 4K, 30 FPS, versus Series S, it's 1440p, 30 FPS. And reviewers and even channels or people that analyze the tech behind it, like Digital Foundry, did comment how impressive Series S is. Obviously, there's a huge difference, but the fact that it's not really broken, stable performance on Series S, still looks good. It may be 30 FPS, but the results are good. It is a relief to some level. So if there can be some stable compromise, I think the Series S will be fine going forward. But it would be a shame if like all of a sudden developers can't really do anything with it anymore, because then the purchase itself becomes useless unless it's for like Game Pass only for like backwards compatible titles. Because it's perfect for backwards compatible games and or even like some games for like the FPS boost. But it seems like even though the Series X costs more money, like 500 and above, it's I think it's the one that may last longer going forward. All right, guys and gals, that is pretty much it for the Films and Pixels podcast episode 42. So yeah, I covered all the topics I wanted for this podcast today. Thank you so much. If you have listened and watched from beginning to end, I really do appreciate it. Your patience just for listening to anything and everything I'm saying. It means a lot. So please, again, like subscribe. Any comment, sharing, a liking is perfect. As always, I will leave the social media links in the description for you to click on. So again, thank you so much. And this is your host Afif from Jamil from the Films and Pixels podcast. Good day and good night.